Welcome,
Hello.
Mallory.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Mallory. I'm an alcoholic. Before I begin, Desiree, could I just ask that I get a 10 and then a 5 minute warning? Is that okay? Thanks so much. Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so my sobriety date is October 23rd, 2013. I have a sponsor, and my sponsor has a sponsor. And my home group is the Caractool Big Book Step Group here in Cork. I'm from Los Angeles originally, actually, so hence the accent. I'm really grateful to be here today, and it's kind of rare that I am at step meetings, and even more rare that I'm at, as John said to me in the message, that it's an in-depth step study. Like, that's what my home group is about, but outside of my home group, I don't often get the opportunity to speak on topics like these. And for me, the benefit of that really is that, sure, it's an in-depth for the group, but more for me, it's that I get to look really closely at what am I actually doing. And when I'm working with other people through the book, or I'm speaking to a sponsee, like, I'm not often talking about this step. It's more between my sponsor and I, so I'm just really grateful for this opportunity. So I suppose I need to start at the beginning of my story. And in brief, I'm a blackout drinker. I got sober when I was 20. I've never had a legal drink. And for me, like, as I found out when I was taken through the book by my sponsor, my illness centers in my mind. And I didn't know that for a really long time. And I didn't really know how that worked. And what I know now is that the way that that works is that, I pick up a drink, and I experience an allergy where I lose control of my drinking. But between drinks, it's my thinking that causes me to pick that up. And my thinking that causes me to drink, like, it's not just limited to that. Like, if it was just limited to alcohol, I'd have no problem with my life in sobriety once I put alcohol down. But my problem is that my thinking, this illness that centers in my mind reaches all areas of my life, everything in my life. And when I came into AA, I was coming to meetings 18, 19, 20 years old. I couldn't wrap my head around what kind of surrender people were talking about. Like, I truly didn't understand what was being asked of me by what was being asked of me in terms of change. When we talk about powerlessness and unmanageability and insanity, like, and part of the problem for me is that I relied so heavily on my thinking to run my life. Like, I grew up in a culture where, both in my family and also in school, where, if you were perceived to be smart in any way, that was really encouraged, and that was valued over other things. And so for me, I thought, well, I'm smart, so if I can rely on that and figure everything out, that I'm going to be set. Like, that's my ticket to having a successful life and a safe life, And really, I didn't know what it was like to rely on anyone else, because I didn't have parents that I could rely on. So the idea of relying on something or someone else to help me with my life day to day, everyone failed me in one way or another. So it really, as I went through my teenage years, it was just this compounding of I'm alone. I have to do this by myself. And even if I wanted help, that's not an option because it's just better if I do it myself. And of course, that drove me deeper into my thinking. And when I came into AA, like I said, people talked about, surrender and turning their lives over. We have all these phrases for basically making that contact with God. And I didn't know what people were talking about. I couldn't identify. And for me, that's why sponsorship and the closeness, like the intimacy that I have with a sponsor is so important because without the guidance, someone holding my hand and taking me through this book, I couldn't do it on my own. Like I tried doing it on my own, and I not only did I not get nowhere, or not only did I get nowhere, but I actually I damaged myself, I did damage to other people, and it was all because the further that I depend on my thinking, the farther I go away from God. And our program and our three legacies are entirely about gentleness, love, tolerance, understanding, compromise. Like, in our steps, traditions, and concepts, we have 36 principles. So, like, coming into this as a 20-year-old, like, I had no idea kind of the wealth of information and tools, for me that was on offer. And, I guess basically what happened was, I got sober, I got a sponsor pretty much straight away. I found it quite easy to put alcohol, and substances down. But when I went through the steps with my first sponsor, like I learned a lot from her, and I really needed I needed everything that she had to offer me. But in terms of surrendering and in terms of seeing the truth about my drinking, about my behavior, and having that change in attitude and change in behavior that only a power greater than myself could do, I simply couldn't do it. Like it was too much for me. And that's 100% fine. That's just my story. I've seen people come in and they're done. Like they're so fed up with themselves and their way of life that they surrender to the principles that are on offer here. And I just could not do that. What it took for me was seeing in sobriety what life looks for me when I'm suffering from untreated alcoholism. And what that looked like was I was, 5 or 6 years sober. I was living in Ireland. I'm married to someone from Ireland. I was like boycotting groups. I was going to meetings, going to group conscience and inadvertently starting arguments. I didn't have any friends. My marriage was falling apart. I hated work. Like I had no intimate relationships. There was no closeness or vulnerability in my life. And I really got to that point of like, there's something wrong here because I've seen people come into AA and I saw the change come over them and I just thought, Like something deep down inside me was like, there has to be more, because I've seen that change come over people. Like, what is it that they're getting that I'm not getting? And so of course, like any good alcoholic, I was like, well, I'm already taking people through the book, so maybe it's the traditions that I need to look at. Like just wild, right? Because for me, it was like only on the intellectual level was I comfortable. And thank God, thank God actually. Hi, Carol. Thank God for our traditions. They're originally called 12 points to assure our future, because like what that's meant for me is that this message can be carried to me. Regardless of where I am in the world, how old I am, what my gender is, what my drinking was like, that this there's a continuity. And because of that continuity, I moved to somewhere different in Ireland, and I was looking for a sponsor. And I met this woman, June. And as soon as I met her, I've been praying for I've been praying for a sponsor to be put in my path, because that's what was suggested to me. And even though I kind of thought that was ridiculous, I had nothing left. Like all of my options were gone. I no longer trusted myself. So I started to trust AA. I started to take the suggestion seriously. And that was the turning point for me. I met June, and she said to me, you've no God. Like your thinking is your God. And she very gently explained to me that, this book is for developing a relationship with God, not the other way around. I don't go through the steps when I have a God in my life, or when I'm sober enough. Like we go through the steps so that we can develop a relationship with God, and then we keep that by passing it on to others. And I, as we started to go through the book, like I started to have experiences of God. And what I found really interesting, the way that June took me through the book, in the chapter We Agnostics, it talks about, our members used to be agnostics, or our members used to be atheists, but that really, when we say that, we mean people that don't know God. So when I say that I'm an agnostic, it means that I don't have an experience of God. Like it's just out there, it's vague. And what this book is asking of me, the experience that's being shared, is that I know God. And when I know God, I'm no longer an atheist or an agnostic. I go from believing in something, like I believed that other people could have this change come over them as a result of these steps, to knowing that because I've experienced it. And an experience, once I have it, isn't shaky. And it was really striking, because once I started having experiences of God, all of this intellectualizing that I had done, like I was studying philosophy before I moved to Ireland, I found that to be really flimsy. And our book says that, it says, I think it's also in We Agnostics, that like all of my theories about religion and about, spirituality, that's really flimsy once I start to actually experience God. Because if I experience something, no one can really debate with that. And I had to put down my thinking in order to kind of see that that's what was happening. Like my thinking would be telling me, well, that doesn't make sense. That couldn't be happening. That's not rational. But my experience was very different. And you know, I guess one of the examples that I have is right after I asked June to be my sponsor, about a month later, my father passed away suddenly, and I was in Ireland and he was in California. So I had to go back to California for the funeral. And I hadn't spoken to him in about 3 years. And I hated my father's family. Like, there's no two ways about it. And I didn't want to go back. And I said to June, "What am I gonna do?" And she said, "Go in service." And I was like, "What do you mean go in service?" Like, I was like, "I know how to be a greeter, I can be a treasurer, I can do secretary, I can find you speakers, but to go in service, like, what does this mean?" And I didn't say this to her, but this was what was happening in my mind while we were on the call. And I said, "You know, I asked June to be my sponsor. I give her permission to give me direction. I'm just going to take her direction. Like, I have this belief that what she's telling me is going to work. And now I'm going to go have experience with it." And so I get there and I'm at my aunt's house the night before the funeral, and I'm making my rounds of all the family. And I'm like, Jesus, like, I'm there with my husband and my mother-in-law. And I'm like, God, you know, just the dysfunction, you know, you could cut it with a knife in the room. And I get to my grandma, and she's kind of like the worst of them all in my mind. Like, you know, I dislike her the most. And she's sitting, and I see her sitting, and I actually like kneel before her, and I take her hand, and she starts to cry, you know, because she's lost her son, who's also my father. And like in that moment, just everything just melted away. All of this, you know, decades of resentment and misunderstanding. I put my family in this box of like, they're bad people. And so the best thing for me to do is to not speak to them and not have a relationship with them. And like, they all kind of asked me, you know, "Will you please keep in touch with us?" And I just thought, how gracious is that? Because in their mind, I've just been left the family for the last few years. They've done nothing wrong. And I thought, wow, you know, all this time I've been putting them in this box, and I've carried this resentment, and then it was just gone. I started to have a new experience of them. And I didn't even want that. Like, that wasn't something that I had, you know, going into that I thought, you know, that I thought was an option. Wasn't something I was seeking. It just happened. And it happened because I took the direction of my sponsor to go in service. And because of my openness, it allowed God to come in and give me that experience. You know, it was my closed mind that had been keeping me from experiencing God. And my grandma actually passed away a few weeks ago, but I've been maintaining this relationship with her the last few years, and every time I talk to her, you know, she'd say these little things that were like these little jibes, you know, but she it was very clear to me then. She didn't like she's just old and she didn't mean it, and that was just her way, and that it was okay. Like, I could just let her be, and I could still have this really beautiful relationship with her. You know, God like opened this door for me that I didn't know was closed, that I didn't know was there. And you know, when we got to step two, you know, at this time, like, I could see how my thinking had been running my life, keeping me closed off. Like, I could see the powerlessness, the unmanageability, the insanity. And so I took step three, and I just said, yes, like, I can't keep going the way that I'm going. And then in step four and five, you know, we really started to look at who I am, you know. And ultimately, the biggest thing that came out of that was that I want other people to change so I can feel better, but I don't want to change. Like, this is my greatest character defect. And so what happened was, I had to keep looking at myself, and now I'm really getting to step 11, right? So, there's a reading in the chat. That's the step 11 reading, for, what AA suggests, for the morning. There's also a little bit about what's suggested for at night. And, coming into this meeting, like, I was aware, okay, that's our step 11 reading. But really, for me, this program doesn't happen for me just by doing a little bit in the morning and doing a little bit at night. Maybe that works for other people, but I, when I'm talking about my experience with this program, and in particular our traditions and concepts, I always say I need all the help I can get, because my conduct left unchecked is atrocious. Like, I need every single principle that's on offer here to shape me, because I just don't know how to live otherwise. Really, like, this is the way that I practice step 11, prayer, meditation, and praying for what God's will for me is, and the power to carry that out. The bulk of that work is in step 10 throughout my day. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what that actually is. Desiree, can I get a time check, please?
You have about 7 minutes left.
Perfect, thank you. So, when my sponsor took me through the book, we started talking about prayer, and that when I become, God conscious, as our book says, when I start to sense, oh, like, I'm having a spiritual experience, or, oh, that's God working there, and I'm God conscious, as we say, like, my life becomes the prayer. That's what my sponsor says. So I, throughout my day, because I'm not always having these, like, spiritual awakenings, right? Like, that's just, for me, that's just not realistic. It's not my experience. But what my sponsor says is, like, if I just look for God in my life, God will reveal itself to me. So, I start out my day with On Awakening, and I look at, what's gonna be happening in my day. Where am I afraid? Like, I, the step 10 reading talks about, where are we selfish, dishonest, in resentment, or in fear? So I look at, like, okay, today, I had kind of a lot of stuff stacked, where it's like, oh, if that runs late, this is gonna be late, and then that's gonna, like, there's this sense in me of wanting to control, basically, and ultimately I'm not in control. So my prayer this morning was, God, just help me to go in service, and you take care of the day. Like, it's all gonna be fine. It doesn't need to be on schedule, and then, throughout my day, like, for example, I lost a lot of friends over COVID. All my friend group kind of moved away, so I'm in the process of making new friends. And I met this girl who actually lives just down the road from me, not alcoholic, but we get on so well. And what's happening for me is, like, in my thinking, wanting to fabricate reasons for us to meet, even though she's sick and she's not ready to meet. But my mind is like, well, I could just show up to her house, And it's like, when I hear that thought, for me, I pray about, well, what's my motive? Like, 'cause something in me, it doesn't feel right. And so, I know now, through sponsorship, looking at my motive, like, what's going on here that's not sitting right with me. And it's what I just said, it's that, relationships don't go at my pace. they go at God's pace. So, for me, the prayer around that was ask God for patience. Thank you so much, Desiree. I ask for patience with this relationship, that it's gonna happen, and however this unfolds is, it's not up to me. Like, I cannot control it. And if I do, that's gonna come across as me being needy and push, this person away. And I don't need to be needy, but I also, like, I'm powerless over that instinct in me, so I give that over to my God, and again, in this way, it's like I'm not naturally a patient person, but I encounter all these situations in my life that bring up these instincts in me, and I get this feeling of that's not sitting right with me. And I'm just curious about it. Like, I just ask God, what's this about? And time and again, it's this practicing step 10 where I'm doing an inventory on what's the character defect here, ultimately, what's blocking me off from God, and what is God's will for me here, which is, like I said, in this case with my relationships and building a community around me, is patience. And that's, in step 10, it says that our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So I don't get to decide what that looks like. Like, I don't necessarily want to become more patient, but because of the situations that are coming up in my life, that's the direction that God wants me to go. And I guess, the last one of the last things I want to talk about is, my sponsor and my grand sponsor, when I'm with them, they're so present. And so while our reading talks about, it says that meditation is when we ask God, to direct our thinking and divorce it from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives, and look at what's coming up in our day. Like, that's called meditation, because it says on page 87, we conclude the period of meditation, blah blah blah. So I'm like, okay, well, that's an interesting way of doing meditation, that I'm reflecting. And again, throughout my day, like, what that looks like when I get up from this kind of meditation, when I finish reading page 88, is I try to be really present. Like, I ask God to help me to be present. And when I'm taking someone through the book, or when I'm exercising, or when I'm making food, like, that is everything in my life is a moment for me to bring God into it. And that's meditation. Simply because this reading, this step 11 reading, tells me that when I am open to God and I let God in, that I'm becoming God conscious, and that's a period of meditation. So throughout my day, I have all these little periods of meditation. I'm not like, I'm not 100% God conscious all the time. That would be wild. I don't know if anyone can do that. But it's just about, where am I making that contact with God? Where am I hitting roadblocks? What's the prayer? Like, it's truly that simple. And I'm way too smart for my own good. That's where I hit the roadblocks. Like, just, I don't have to think about anything, I just have to be here and be open. So I'm gonna leave it there. Thanks so much for asking me to share. If anyone's new or feeling new, I hope you keep coming back. Thanks so much.